So first, I'd like to read to you an excerpt from a letter Srila Prabhupada wrote to one of his disciples. He was here in Los Angeles, July 1st, 1972, which I recently discovered and which is helping me in my preaching. Srila Prabhupada wrote, "Yes, it is good to be prepared with a well-thought lecture in advance. However, we must be able to preach effectively at a moment's notice or and under any conditions or circumstances also. As you begin to study the Sanskrit words, in each word you will find a treasure house of different understanding." So I read that on July 1st this year, or last year, because I have a calendar, and every day on this calendar a different quote comes up, and since it was July 1st, it came up on July 1st. So I'm going to preach on a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam for those who are not familiar with Srimad Bhagavatam. There is one line, Nigama Kalpatura Galitang Phalam. The compendium of the Vedic knowledge coming out of India is compared to a tree. And all knowledge, material, metaphysical, transcendental, is contained in this tree of knowledge known as the Vedas. But the ripened fruit of that tree, that is Srimad Bhagavatam. And there is a phenomenon that when a mango fruit is picked up, was picked out by a parrot. Parrot has that beak. So when the parrot picks at the fruit, somehow or other, it becomes sweeter. So the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, his name is Shukadeva Goswami. Shuka means parrot. But he's not Shukadev because he just repeated what his father Vyasadev taught him, like a computer. No. Shukadev presented what he learned from his father, but presented it. It was already sweet, Bhagavatam. But the way Shukadeva Goswami presents it, he makes it even more sweeter. Now, I say, and perhaps many others, I'm sure you would say, that the way Srila Prabhupada translated and commentated on the already sweet, sweet Bhagavatam, Prabhupada made it even more relishable. And would you agree with me that he made it more sweeter so that anyone and everyone can dive into the tremendously high philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam? So the scene of the verse tonight is after the battle of Kurukshetra. On day one of the battle, Arjuna heard the Bhagavad Gita from Krishna. And after 18 days, the battle was over. As Krishna had predicted, when Krishna showed Arjuna the universal form, and Arjuna asked, "Who are you? What is your mission?" And the universal form said, "I am time, and my business is to destroy." And then the universal form said, "All these soldiers on both sides, except for Arjuna and his brothers, maybe a few others, but other than that, they're all going to die." And then the universal form told Arjuna, I want you to be my instrument in the fight. Take the glory, win the fame, act on my behalf. And then at the end, when Krishna says to Arjuna, now I have told you everything. Now I leave it up to you. What are you going to do? What is your decision? And Arjuna responds, yes. I began this day with so many doubts and confusion and fears. But now that I've heard Bhagavad Gita, now I'm convinced. I'm fired up. And now I will act as you have instructed. Arjuna voluntarily agreed to abide by Krishna's instructions. So after the battle of Kurukshetra, millions and millions of soldiers had given up their lives. So after the battle, relatives and friends, there was lots of lamentation. Because that is human nature. We all have attachments. We all have friends and acquaintances. I was explaining yesterday to the relatives of Vipin that it is normal that we will feel and we will experience lamentation due to attachment to family members. And I told the incident, even Krishna. Yes. Once Krishna was fighting the demon Shalva. And in the course of the fight, Shalva, who had great mystic powers, he produced Krishna's father, Vasudev. And Shalva said, look, Krishna, here is the father that has given you birth. Watch now. And Shalva cut off the head of Krishna's father. And for a moment, Krishna became bewildered. And Krishna cried out in lamentation. So, if Krishna can be affected by the loss of a family member, what to speak of us? But after a minute, not even a minute, after a second, he thought, wait a second. Because after Shalva beheaded Krishna's father, the airship disappeared. And Krishna said, wait a second. Where's the head? Where's the dead body? Ah, this was a magic trick, an illusion of Shalva. Krishna immediately regained his full composure and attacked Shalva. And then Krishna pulled out his ultimate weapon, Sudarshan Chakra, and cut off the head of Shalva, who had supposedly cut off Krishna's father's head. Because what of Krishna's name? Ajita. Everybody say? Ajita. Unconquerable. He's undefeated. Nobody can conquer him. That's why he's called Ajita. So after the battle of Kurukshetra, there was much lamentation. So I found this verse. Sant Vayam Asa Munibir Hattabandhun Sucharpitan Bhuteshu Kalasya Gating Darshayana Pratikriyam. So following Prabhupada's advice in that letter that I read, let's see what these Sanskrit words, how they can inspire. Because this preaching is all based on inspiration. Krishna is in your heart, and the same Krishna is in my heart. That makes us connected. It's the same Krishna. So let's see, we learn from the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says in chapter 15, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishta mata smritir jnanam apohanam cha. Earlier today, I was talking to a very nice person. He's on his way to becoming a devotee. And because we had such a nice conversation, I was eating nice mahaprasad in the restaurant. There was this one chana with the rice. Oh, too good. Prasadam is still king. There's nothing better than prasadam. I don't care. Bring me your philosophy, your religion, whatever. Do you have prasadam? No. Krishna prasadam is the best. That's the only reason why I joined this movement. So we were having a very nice discussion. He was asking such high-level questions. I was impressed, the level of his questions. And so when he found out that I was speaking, he said, are you going to speak on Bhagavad Gita? I said, yeah, I'll mention a few verses. So I mentioned this one. Krishna says, I'm in your heart, and from me come knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So to sit down and give a lecture or talk, it's up to Krishna. If I've been a good boy, if I've done my homework, then Krishna may bless me to speak something appropriate. The real thing is, I have to be able to touch your heart. It's not a question of how much knowledge you have. No, it's a question of, is there some purity? Is there some conviction? Is some faith that I can instill in you, inspire you? There is a word the devotees chant when they are chanting their mantras, prachodayat, means to become enthused, to become enlivened. So that's my job. I hope that I can inspire, enthuse, enliven, encourage you. So, the first word, santvayam, pacified. So, pacification is a question of the heart and mind. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives us the formula for peace. Prabhupada wrote a pamphlet, The Peace Formula, because in the 60s, there was so much clamor about the Vietnam War. So Prabhupada had to deal with it. So he wrote this pamphlet, The Peace Formula. And what is the peace formula? Three things. The peace formula is that if you can accept Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, we are subsequent enjoyers if we serve Krishna. But Krishna is the supreme original enjoyer. Point number two, can you accept that Krishna is the supreme proprietor? Everything is his energy. We learn that from Bhagavad Gita repeatedly. Everything, material, spiritual, it all comes from Krishna. Even this material body, I didn't create it. No. Ultimately, it is the property of God. And then the third one I already mentioned. Suhridam sarvabhutanam. Krishna is everyone's dearmost friend. Why? He's in your heart. You may have a friend, husband and wife, they can get this close. But Krishna is already inside you. Nobody can get closer to you because you are in the heart. We learned that in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You, the real you, dwells in the heart. And right next to you is Krishna. He's your closest and he's your well-wishing friend. You may have friends, you may have acquaintances. And I was discussing with the family and they also were aware of it. When there is a tragedy, a death in the family, when there is something wrong, that's when you know who your real friends are. We have so many fair weather friends. When you got money, when you're cool, everybody's your friend. When you don't have money and your things are not going good for you, then you find out who's your real friend. So Krishna says, I am your dear most Suhrit. Suhrit means person who is only thinking of your benefit. Children, if there are any children in the room, just like your parents, they are only thinking of your interest. Even when they tell you no, they still are only have your interest at heart. That's a well-wishing friend who has your interest, not their interest. So Krishna says, I am your dear most well-wishing friend, and I have only your interest in heart. That is why Krishna says, surrender to me. It's not that Krishna is some kind of egomaniac. Everybody must bow down to me because I am the great omnipotent. No. When Krishna says surrender unto him, it's because Krishna knows if you don't surrender unto him, you're going to suffer. And he doesn't want to see you suffer. So when Krishna says surrender to me, he is telling you it's for your own good. Next word, Munibhi, along with the Munis. So at this time, when everybody was lamenting, many saintly persons, great thinkers, holy men were there. Hata Bandhun, those who lost their friends and relatives. Everyone was affected by the battle of Kurukshetra. Both sides. There was heavy losses. Arjuna lost one of his sons. Just like on the altar, there is Subhadra, Krishna's sister. So Arjuna was married to Krishna's sister, and they had a son, Abhimanyu. And in the battle, he was practically invincible. He was defeating the Kauravas like anything. And the Kauravas knew, we can't defeat Abhimanyu. The only way they could defeat Abhimanyu, they had to cheat a little bit. And that's what they did. They didn't really play fair, dirty fighting. And Abhimanyu was slain, Arjuna's son. So there were losses on both sides. Next word, Sucharpitan, all shocked and affected. Yes, that's what happens when there's a war. That's what happens when there is death. It's natural. We're human beings. We're not stones. We will become shocked and affected. The day Srila Prabhupada left this planet, every one of his disciples was shocked and affected. I remember everybody was crying in the temple when the news came down. Because I thought, and I'm sure everybody else thought, oh, Prabhupada's like Bhishma. He will die when he wants to die. But And we thought, oh, Prabhupada will live to be 200. He will always be with us. We never thought. Even if he got sick, we knew, okay, we'll pray to Krishna. But one day came, Krishna said, I want you back. I have other service for you. November 14th, 1977, the saddest day in my life, when Prabhupada was called by Krishna. All of us were shocked and affected. Until this day, this movement is still shocked and affected by the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada. We pray, I pray, for one day, if Krishna could bring Prabhupada back one day, then we would bring up all the questions. Prabhupada, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? I wish that day would, but Krishna is not allowing. Would you like that? One day Prabhupada came back and he would be there and you could ask him one question. Yes. Jai.
After praying about that particular statement throughout my life, now I see Prabhupada said his body is this time. It's a global body. And if you think of him, he is there. Is it a proper conclusion to see it as a global body?
Yes, he said that. He said that. Yes. Thank you for sharing that.
We can visualize a global form.
Yes. Yes.
There's a million people chanting Hare Krishna.
Jai.
And every time we chant, as beautiful as Rukmini and Dwarkadish appear before us and go around the universe seven times.
Let's all chant the Maha Mantra, everybody.
Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki. The next word, bhuteshu, unto the living beings. We are all living beings. There are 8,400,000 different types of living beings. The soul, spiritual in quality, is inhabiting one of 8,400,000 species of life. The soul is animating the body by the mercy and presence of Krishna. Now this next word is one of the most important in the verse. Kalasya, of the supreme law of the Almighty. Yes. Everything in this world is the law of God. Sometimes when I'm speaking in certain circles, I know the audience won't appreciate if I say the laws of God. So then I say, okay, the laws of nature. Then they can handle that, some audiences. But they don't know that the laws of nature is the supreme law of the Almighty. Because we learn from Bhagavad Gita, everything is under His thumb. Everything has been set up by Krishna's direction. So the supreme law of the Almighty. Next word, gatim, reactions. That is karma. Karma means I do some action and then there's a reaction, good or bad. Or in the case of spiritual life, the action is transcendental. And therefore, there is no good or bad reaction. The result of a transcendental activity is absolute. Whether it's seemingly good or bad, it's still absolute. That's the wonderful nature of Krishna conscious activities. It has an absolute reaction. Then the next word, darshayan, demonstrated. Next word, not know. And then last word, pratikriyam, remedial measures. We all take remedial measures when there's a problem. When we get sick, we take something to try to nullify the disease. Remedial measures. So please repeat the translation, please, if you would. Citing the stringent laws of the Almighty and their reactions upon living beings. Lord Sri Krishna and the Munis began to pacify those who were shocked and affected. Because people like, of course, Krishna and great saintly persons who have transcendental knowledge, they know something from Bhagavad Gita. Natvam Sochitam Arhasi. Repeatedly in the second chapter, Krishna tells Arjuna, Arjuna, you do not deserve to lament. Everything here, because of time, because of action, reaction, and because this is the material world, everything one day, it's just the best example I can give is like a dream. When you're in the dream, it's very real. In the dream, you're being chased by a tiger. Oh, help, help. And then you wake up. Oh, it was just a dream. Same way, sometimes you're having a good dream. The other night, I had a good dream. I was writing a song. I was, this is a great song. And then I woke up. Whether it's a good dream or a bad dream, it's a dream. And the day will come when we will all realize this whole life was a dream. The only thing that was real was the activities of Krishna consciousness. That's not a dream. What you're doing now, this is waking up from the dream. You're preaching, you're chanting, you're worshiping, you're any one of the items of devotional service, that's real. Everything else outside of devotional life is all a dreamlike activity. Actually, there's a verse in this Bhagavatam. Everything going on in this material universe is a dream. That's the secret teaching of the Vedas. So now you know the secret teachings of the Vedas. That's why you should come to my class, because I'm going to give you the secret. You remember that silly book, The Secret? This is the real secret behind the secret. It's called Krishna. That's the real secret. So, citing the stringent laws of the Almighty, the laws of God, even a child touches fire, what happens? Burns. Oh, it's so cruel. No. That's just the way it is, we say. That's the way it is. This is the material world. There are stringent laws. So let's see what Prabhupada writes in his purport. Srila Prabhupada, in another letter I read today, Prabhupada was also giving the clue how to become an effective preacher. He said, what? Cram my purports. If you cram Prabhupada's purports, you become a great preacher. Who would like to become a great preacher? Very good. That's what Prabhupada wants. Prabhupada did not create a movement where he's the big cheese and everyone. No. Prabhupada wants everyone to become like him. Prabhupada wants everyone to go out, be Krishna conscious, and give others Krishna consciousness. In 1969, Prabhupada gave a lecture here in Los Angeles. I don't think it was in this temple. The temple previously was elsewhere, but it was in Los Angeles. Prabhupada was honoring the disappearance of his Guru Maharaj. And Prabhupada said, I'm an old man. I may pass away at any moment. But you have understood this movement to some extent. Give it to others. That's what Prabhupada wants. Whatever you have gotten from this movement, give it to others. If you do that, Prabhupada will smile upon you. Very nice. Whether it's the chanting, this boy here, he likes to give Prabhupada's books. I'm looking at, yeah, you. He's too shy and humble. Or you like to give prasad. Or you like to tell others something about Krishna. Whatever it is you have, whatever you have learned from this movement, give it. Give it. Give it out. Because, say you have 100 points of Krishna consciousness in your account. Let's say you give it all away. At the end of the day, what's your account? 200. No investment banker can do that for you. No. You give everything you have about Krishna, your account increases. So go on, give, give, give Krishna consciousness. Okay, Prabhupada says, the stringent laws of nature, under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot be altered by any living entity. The living entities are eternally under the subjugation of the Almighty Lord. The Lord makes all the laws and orders, and these laws and orders are generally called dharma or religion. No one can create any religious formula. Bona fide religion is to abide by the orders of the Lord. The Lord's orders are clearly declared in the Bhagavad Gita. When I was having my talk with this nice young man today in the restaurant, he said, I love Bhagavad Gita. He told me he had been a Buddhist for so many years, but now, after so many years, he's reading Bhagavad Gita. He loves Bhagavad Gita. I told him, you are a devotee. If you love Bhagavad Gita, what does that mean? You love Krishna. Do you agree? Yes. Everyone should follow him only, or his orders, and that will make all happy, both materially and spiritually. Yes. Earlier in this Bhagavatam, Prabhupada writes, material well-being automatically follows spiritual well-being. So I make a joke sometimes. See me? Does it look like I'm starving here? I surrendered to Krishna and Prabhupada in 1973. As I told you, I only joined because of the food. As you can see, I have not starved. As long as we are in the material world, our duty is to follow the orders of the Lord. And if by the grace of the Lord we are liberated from the clutches of the material world, then in our liberated stage also, we can render transcendental loving service unto the Lord. Some spiritualists, they will do their spiritual practice, but they think, once I become liberated, Now, no more spiritual activities. But in Krishna consciousness, this is simply the apprentice stage, the practice. The real thing is going to take place once we become liberated. Right now, we're just practicing, getting ready for the big Super Bowl in the spiritual world. So, just stay practicing, because the real chanting, the real preaching, yes, the real eating is yet to come in the kingdom of God. Who would like to eat with Krishna? There is an incident. Krishna is eating breakfast with his friends. In the morning, Krishna is not very hungry. He stayed up late at night with somebody. So in the morning, he's not very hungry, and his mother is putting on so much food on his plate. So when his mother's not looking, Krishna's taking the food and putting it on his friend's plate. Madhu Mangal. And Madhu Mangal's a chubby cowherd boy. And he's very anxious. Oh, yes, Krishna, very good. See how nice Krishna is? In our material stage, we can see neither ourselves nor the Lord for want of spiritual vision. But when we are liberated from material affection and are situated in our original spiritual form, we can see both ourselves and the Lord face to face. This is why we chant every day. We want to come to that stage where we can see God face to face. That's the impetus to chant, to worship, to sing, to work hard for Krishna. Prabhupada said, one day when you're out distributing books, you will give a book to Krishna. Would you like that? But I don't know if Krishna will give you enough for the book. Huh? He has to pay. We shall see who wins that. Krishna may take all your books. Mukti means to be reinstated in one's original spiritual status after giving up the material conception of life. Therefore, human life is specifically meant for qualifying ourselves for this spiritual liberty. Unfortunately, under the influence of illusory material energy, we accept this spot life of only a few years as our permanent existence, and thus become illusioned by possessing so-called country, home, land, children, wife, community, wealth, etc., which are all false representations created by Maya or illusion. That's why I give that example of the dream. It's an illusion. And under the dictation of Maya, we fight with one another to protect these false possessions. By cultivating spiritual knowledge, we can realize that we have nothing to do with all this material paraphernalia. Then at once we become free from material attachment. This clearance of the misgivings of material existence at once takes place by association with the Lord's devotees, who are able to inject the transcendental sound into the depths of the bewildered heart and thus make one practically liberated from all lamentation and illusion. So Prabhupada created this movement so that the devotees will give their association to others. So the more you become a devotee, then the more you should give your association to others less fortunate. That is a summary of the pacifying measures for those affected by the reaction of stringent material laws exhibited in the forms of birth, death, old age, and disease, which are insoluble factors of material existence. The victims of war, namely the family members of the Kuru, were lamenting the problems of death, and the Lord pacified them on the basis of knowledge. And knowledge, if you want knowledge, just read Bhagavad Gita, as my friend confirmed today in our talk. He loves Bhagavad Gita because it is full of transcendental knowledge. So, the conclusion, I have the same conclusion every lecture I give. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalao Nastyeva, 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 Gatir Anyata. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way, good God, than chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just one more thing. Krishna just reminded me. Thank you, Krishna. He just sent me a text message in my heart. I have given many, many funeral sermons in my life. And at every funeral service that I've spoken at, I usually recall something I learned as a young child, even growing up, way before Krishna consciousness. There's a famous slogan in the Western world, Christian tradition: when there is a death, the bell rings on the church. So there's this expression, ask not for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. So whenever there is a death you hear about, There's no time to lament because I'm next. Am I ready to die? Have I settled all accounts with the Corleone family? Have I made my peace with God? So we only have so much time. Time is ticking, tick, 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 tick. I'm next. As Swavas was saying, us Prabhupada disciples being shot down one by one. Chicken, another one. Chicken, chicken. Yes, Prabhu. By surrendering to Krishna with all your heart and soul and chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bolo! Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. All the ladies. All right, men. Everybody together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. From the bottom of my rotten heart, I want to thank you all for staying and agreeing to listening. I hope I did something to help you, encourage you. If not, I'm sorry. I tried. But may Krishna bless you, protect you, and maintain you. Hare Krishna. Prasadam is served. Thank you.